Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Small Business Town Hall with Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara and Assemblymember Tasha Berner Horvath. At this time, this call will be recorded, and I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Assemblymember Tasha Berner Horvath. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I want to welcome everybody to our town hall on small businesses and insurance. My name is Tasha Berner Horvath, and it's an honor to serve as your state assembly member for Encinitas, Carlsbad, Oceanside Vista, and Camp Pendleton. You know, I think for so many of us, when I first took office, I never thought I would be leading during a worldwide pandemic. And since the governor declared a state of emergency due to the coronavirus in early March, the legislature has sought various ways to support our coronavirus response, support our local businesses, and we know our local businesses are really struggling. I want to thank everybody who's out there who are following the rules, making sure that they're protecting public health while opening up their businesses to keep our economy going. So we know it's a very difficult time. So I'm so excited today to have a great set of panelists, starting with our own Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. For those of you who don't know who Commissioner Lara is, he's the nation's largest state consumer protection agency commissioner and has been charged with protecting California consumers. So obviously during COVID-19 pandemic, he's been busier than ever with the largest public health emergency I think any of us have really seen in our lifetime. Also joining us today, we have some guest speakers, our two incredible experts in the business industry. So we have U.S. Small Business Administration and CEO Mara Pena, who is the California Program Director and National Latino Entrepreneurship Director at the Small Business Majority. So thank you all three of you for being here today. But before we get started, we just want to do some housekeeping and let everybody know how our teletown hall works. All of our guests will talk a little bit about their role in protecting the public during COVID-19 pandemic when it comes to business insurance, compliance, and extensions. We also have common questions and concerns that were submitted to by constituents who want to learn more about how to assist businesses moving towards economic recovery. So thank you, everybody, all of our listeners, for submitting the questions via email. We're going to try to answer all of these questions today, but if not, you're going to be able to have your questions answered after the fact, and we're going to put them on both the department's website as well as our own. To make sure our panel can be heard by everybody, all of our listeners right now are in listen mode, and you'll stay in listen mode for the duration of this teletown hall. If you do want to ask a question, please feel free to email, and I do have to apologize. I have to write out my whole last name, assemblymember.bernerhorvath, all together, BOERNERHORVATH, at assembly.ca.gov, and we'll do our best to address them with us today. This teletown hall is being recorded, and we'll make that recording available on our website as well as the Department of Insurance's website. So also available after the event will be a summary of notes from our teletown hall and contact and resources. I think it's so important. I know with doing so many of these teletown halls, I think this is number 10 for us. I learned so much personally, and I know my constituents are always thankful that they can go onto our website and find that information about resources to help everybody out. So with that done, I'd like to turn it back to our panelists. Commissioner Lara, let's go ahead and start with you. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself? I know we know each other from our joint work in Sacramento, but maybe for some of the folks here in North San Diego County, who you are, why you do what you do, and what have you been working on so hard? I know you've been doing a lot, so like maybe just key highlights.
Thank you, Senator Bernard Horvath. It's so great to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you're doing well and you're safe, and you and your family are you know, keeping yourself safe and healthy during these difficult times. I miss you guys all dearly. Well, you know, since the pandemic, as you said, the Department of Insurance is the largest consumer protection agency in the country, and I oversee the largest insurance market in the country. And essentially, my job is to protect the rights of our consumers. And since the pandemic, we have done several things to not only protect our consumers, but to return critical resources back to our businesses and our consumers, along with a lot of work that we're doing to try to make sure that we don't have and we don't repeat the awful wildfires that we've been living through over the past years. But once again, if, you know, we, whatever catastrophe we face in the future, the Department of Insurance will be here again to help people rebuild. And so since the pandemic started, I've joined more than 30 virtual town halls like this. We've reached more than 7,000 consumers. And one way the department is supporting our fellow Californians during this time is by ensuring accurate and timely information and services when it comes to the insurance needs of our communities. Together, we all have a lot of work to do to assist our businesses and the workers that, you know, as we continue to provide, to try and provide services and cope with this pandemic and the future of our economy and state. One of the things I want to talk about in the beginning is, you know, I've taken a number of steps to help businesses and consumers, including ordering insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and our drivers affected by the pandemic. I'm sure you saw in the news when we made this announcement that we were going to make sure that insurance companies return a portion of premiums to drivers who have private passenger automobile lines, but it also goes a lot further. And for our businesses, it includes commercial automobile insurance, it includes workers' compensation, it includes commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, and medical malpractice, and any other line of coverage where the risk has become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic. So to date, as a result of my directive, California automobile insurance companies have returned close to $1.2 billion in savings to drivers. That $2.1 billion is broken up into two pots, more than $1 billion in premium relief for more than 18 million drivers for the first 3 months that at the start of the pandemic, an additional $180 million in savings on future rate increases that insurance companies had to reduce in response to my orders. And so, like I said before, my action goes farther than any other state insurance commissioner by including businesses where the risk of loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. If you want to know what relief your insurance company is providing, you can go to our website to see the reports that they submitted at insurance.ca.gov. My department is currently reviewing all the reports we received from the insurance companies about how much premium they are returning for commercial policies to verify that these amounts are sufficient. As a business owner, you should not have to do absolutely anything to receive the refund or the credit, and insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. I expect these savings for consumers will continue to grow. I've also extended my premium for the order for premium relief to include the month of June and beyond, as long as the risk of accident and loss remains lower due to the pandemic. We encourage businesses to contact our department at 1-800-927-4357 or by visiting our website at insurance.ca.gov. The second main issue that we've been working on is, in addition to getting premium back to businesses, there are a few other major issues that we are monitoring. My department has received a number of complaints regarding business interruption insurance related to COVID-19 closures. Many businesses have looked to their insurance policies for possible coverage. As you know, each policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including here in California, which concern the interpretation of these policies and whether these policies cover losses due to the pandemic. I can tell you we are monitoring these cases as we move through the courts. Meanwhile, we have taken some other significant steps to address business interruption. We have been learning that some companies are denying business interruption claims without a thorough investigation and even discouraging business owners from even filing a claim. That is simply unacceptable. So in response to numerous complaints, we put out a bulletin requiring companies to comply with their contracts in California law by fairly investigating all business interruption claims caused by COVID-19, just as they would any disaster, quite frankly, a fire, a flood, or an earthquake that we just had in L.A. this morning. my department will be watching to make sure that they do and ensure that everyone is getting a fair claim. I also want to urge businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. Unfortunately, during these times is when we see businesses being targeted for fraud. If you see any red flags or any suspicious activity, please report it to the Department of Insurance. Many people don't know, but we do have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices across the state, including one in San Diego. I would tell businesses to be on the alert for those offering bogus workers' compensation policies. You can also verify the legitimacy of the selling agent and the policy being offered. You can verify the agent's license on our website and contact their insurance company directly to verify the policy. Again, you can report any issues to our department at 1-800-927-4357. Lastly, it would be remiss if I didn't talk about wildfires. As you know, in addition to this pandemic, we face an ongoing threat of wildfires. The reality is that wildfires are a statewide problem, as we know very well in San Diego County and North County. And the fires that we've seen this year are a reminder that wildfire season is already here, whether we're ready for it or not. CAL FIRE and other agencies have responded to thousands of incidents already this year. So early this month, we held a town hall with CAL FIRE and the Governor's Office of Emergency Services and United Policyholders, which is a consumer group, to talk about preparation. And you can find that link to listen to our website and our conversation at insurance.ca.gov. If we have another wildfire season that damages and destroys homes and businesses, the department will once again be there to help you recover. For the 2017 and 2018 wildfires and the 2018 fire-related Montecito mudslide that, if you recall, in Santa Barbara County, our staff from the department was able to recover more than $240 million for wildfire claimants. So it is critical that you stay in contact with us. If you have a claim, we can help you through the process. Again, just to reiterate, before I was the insurance commissioner, I was in the Senate and sponsored SB 824, which gives protection against insurance non-renewals to everyone living near the perimeter of a declared wildfire emergency. Last year, we put this law into effect for the first time, and more than 1 million homes and 180 zip codes are now protected until December 2020 for non-renewals. You can find the whole list of zip codes on our website at insurance.ca.gov. If we have another state declared disaster this year and beyond, the new law will protect those from insurance non-renewals for at least a year so that our families can, you know, make those tough decisions and not have to worry that they're going to lose their insurance coverage as they're trying to, you know, work to rebuild and move on after a disaster. Again, I just want to reiterate, our team is working from home, but have not skipped a beat. We continue to provide essential services for California consumers, and we're available at 1-800-927-4357. Look, insurance is complicated, and we know that business owners' primary concern is keeping the doors open and keeping employees and your customers safe. We can help guide you through the process. We have insurance experts ready to help and answer your questions in multiple languages. You're actually talking to an actual person. This is not a recording. And again, thank you again, Assemblywoman, and look forward to answering your questions later on in the program. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Commissioner Lara, that was a lot of information. That is I'm going to have to go back and listen to that too, so we might kind of touch on some of those highlights when we get through it.
Yes.
But we've actually done, there's so much that I think is really important when we think about the nexus of wildfires that are season approaching, especially in the eastern part of my district in the Vista Oceanside area in Fallbrook. So we did a telethon hall on that, and we also did one on the COVID scams and fraud. It's so horrible that people take advantage of folks during this time of great uncertainty. So
exactly.
Very, very frustrating. So thank you for all your work on that. Really super important.
Thank you.
Then now I'm going to go to Xiomara. And so we know that women and minority-owned businesses are especially impacted by COVID. Could you briefly introduce yourself and let us know what you've been working on for the last few months? I know you guys have been also super active. So what's going on in the small business world, throughout the nation, throughout California, and then for San Diego?
Thank you, Assemblymember, and thank you to you, your staff, and for your leadership, as well as Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. It's incredibly impactful, especially now, as small businesses, as already mentioned, are facing an unprecedented moment unlike any other in any history that we can recall. Our organization, Small Business Majority, is a national nonprofit which seeks to serve entrepreneurs and small business owners through research, advocacy, and education. And as you can imagine, since March, we have been responding to the emergency needs of small business owners, especially as it pertains to obtaining financial resources, whether it's through the federal or state resources, or in some cases connecting folks to local resources through our digital platform called Venturize.org, www.venturize.org. Additionally, we have been working with a number of small business owners collecting the stories around the impact that they themselves experienced as a result of the coronavirus, as well as the challenges that they may have faced in trying to access some of the federal loan products that were made available in recent months. We have recently conducted a survey, and those findings are available on our website. It really showcases the disproportionality between the access points for some of the federal loan programs like the Paycheck Protection Program and the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. However, for many small business owners, if you are still looking for capital, it should be noted that those programs are still available, and there are many intermediaries that have been approved by the SBA to be able to accept and process the Paycheck Protection Program loans as well. And you would directly submit your loan application to the SBA for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. Now, in addition to our research work and our advocacy work, we also have been doing a series of educational workshops. We have also created a one-stop hub for COVID-19 related resources, which include daily updates, webinars, and a whole host of resources that can be made available by visiting www.venturize.org. And that content is also available in Spanish in some cases. And so please make sure you visit there, because I know over the next 5 minutes or so, I'll be covering a little bit more information around the resources that exist. First, I want to address some of the federal conversations taking place, since I know a lot of business owners are wondering whether they'll see a second round of PPP added in the next stimulus package or what can be expected. So far, we don't know all that will be included in the next stimulus package, but we do know that small business owner support is still a top-of-mind issue and concern for policymakers in Congress. So amongst the things that have been discussed has been automatic forgiveness of small-dollar PPP loans of less than $150,000. Additionally, an application for a second PPP loan has been also presented as a possibility. However, that would have some restrictions, and so if you recall, the eligibility requirement for the Paycheck Protection Program was that you had to be a business with less than 500 employees and had to showcase some need for that capital. In this case, that would be restricted to employers with less than 300 employees from what we've seen. And there may be additional requirements to showcase your eligibility in terms of loss of revenues due to COVID. Additionally, there has been an expansion of the categories of qualifiedness. And so, again, all to say, for small business owners, continue working with your small business development centers in order to obtain technical assistance, because this information is changing by the day. And so your Small Business Development Center or the SBA website might be the best resources to get the top-of-mind information. And I know we'll be answering some questions, but I do also just want to mention that today we did see a bill proposed that would essentially protect small business borrowers from predatory lenders and loans carrying unfair terms and condition at the national level. And so I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Thank you so much, Xiomara. That is so great to know that there is going to be protections for consumers against predatory lending. You know, we did a lot of work last year in the state legislature on predatory lending, and I always appreciate my colleague, Assemblymember Monique Lamone, for her work on that bill. So I think we have Jamie from the Small Business Association. Are you able to get on the call, Jamie?
Yeah.
So, Jamie, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit and then go through what you've been seeing from the Small Business Association side, what you've been doing, and what are people really asking over the last month or so? You know, what are people struggling with?
Okay, so I work here in the San Diego District Office. We serve San Diego and Imperial County, and I'm kind of on the front lines helping all the folks that need to apply for both our Economic Injury Disaster Loan or our Paycheck Protection Program, and then also handling a lot of the inquiries that come in from the small business owners. I work at that interface between SBA and our Office of Disaster and small businesses. So when they're facing challenges, this is a huge rollout. We're there to provide support to all of our small business owners in our area. So I wanted to throw that out there. I know that communication has not been perfect, and I heard some folks talk about some of the challenges, but there are people out there to support small businesses. So namely myself, I have my we can share my email address and contact information so that when you have small business owners, independent contractors, self-employed that are trying to access those federal programs and they need help, we're here to do it. So that's what I spend the majority of my time trying to deliver service and provide better service for our community.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie. I really appreciate you joining us. So now that we've heard from each of our panelists, I want to go ahead and go to some of the questions we've gotten from my constituents here in 8076. So our first question is for the commissioner. I paid my insurance and understood it included business interruption coverage. Why isn't loss of business due to COVID-19 pandemic covered? I'm sure that's like the number one question you get.
Yeah. You know, the first thing people need to know is that not all policies are the same, of course, and we need to look at the specific policy to better understand what coverages and exclusions the policyholder has. If a business has business interruption coverage, but their insurance company is telling them that these losses are not covered due to the exclusions in their policy, we recommend that you file a formal complaint, not a complaint, a claim with their insurance company to start creating that important paper trail. Insurance companies are legally required to fairly investigate a claim and formally respond back with their coverage decision and the reasons for any denials that they may make. While it is more complicated than this, many commercial policies have exclusions for loss due to contamination by a virus and similar perils, and this has been going on since the swine flu and the bird flu and H1N1. Many policies also require that a loss may be caused by a direct physical damage or a loss to insured property that results from a cause covered by the policy. These conditions and exclusions do create hurdles for obtaining coverage. However, we need to see your policy as well as, and see what the circumstances that are applicable to the loss event, and to really know what conditions or exclusions may or may not exist for a particular business. So I would recommend if you're a business that has filed a formal claim, you please file the claim immediately with your insurance company. If the business has filed already a formal claim and the claim has been denied, we recommend they file what we call in our department a request for assistance with our department, and you could do that by calling us at 1-800-927-4357 or through our website at insurance.ca.gov. Well, it's true that many commercial policies have these provisions that may exclude coverage for business interruption. My department will review the claim to ensure that the insurer is properly investigating your claim and following all the laws and the provisions in your contract. Sometimes we've been able to get people some claim money back, what is due to them, because we find discrepancies in some of the information that the insurance company has provided, or realize that there's other parts of the contract that weren't triggered, but that should have been. And so it all depends. I would just, again, tell businesses if you filed a formal claim, to file a formal claim with your insurance company. If you've done so and been denied and you're still not satisfied, give us a call to the number that I just provided, and we can go through your policy with a fine-tooth comb to make sure they didn't miss anything, or maybe they didn't look close enough to a certain section of the policy, and we'll do that for you. That's what we're here for. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lara. First step is to file a claim with your insurer, and the second step is, if it gets denied, to go to you.
Exactly.
There you go. So our second question. And I'm not sure who wants to take it, if that's Jamie or Siomara. What resources do you think small businesses have available to assist them during this pandemic, and how do they know if they qualify for them? We hear PPP loans and EIDL loans and all these different things. How is a small business owner, what's the best process you think a small business owner should go through to figure out what applies to them and what would best benefit them?
This is Yamara. I can go ahead and take a stab at it. So first and foremost, again, there's a lot of programs available. We have federal resources, state resources, and local resources. First, I think it's always critical that a small business owner, if they aren't already connected to a Small Business Development Center, which is funded by the SBA, that they make an appointment. And we have a few in the North San Diego region, we have a North San Diego Small Business Development Center, which you can also get connected to through our VentureEyes platform or directly find them. I know that in the post follow-up, you guys will have all the access to the links that we'll be talking about, so that will be included in there as well. But the Small Business Development Center already can provide one-on-one technical assistance and help you map out a plan of which loan products or grant products may be available for you as a small business owner. At the federal level, we have, I won't cover the PPP or SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan product, because I'm certain that Jamie will go into both of those products in more detail. But I will also say that for some of those business owners that may not be able to access those federal loan programs, the state of California has made an allocation to small business loans through the State Loan Guarantee Program, or the Small Business Disaster Relief Loan Guarantee Program, through the iBank. And it's important to note that through this program, you will be able to obtain capital regardless of your ITIN, legal status. And so ITIN holders are eligible for a microloan through these through CDFI lenders, and we will send you a link so that you can access those participating CDF Community Development Financial Institution groups. Additionally, there was an announcement made recently of a new SBA program, which is the SBA CARL, or Community Advantage Recovery Loan Program, which was rolled out last week, and it can potentially help you if you need capital to maintain your business afloat during these challenging times. The two major benefits is that it waives all the packaging and SBA guarantee fees, which can result in significant savings, and the SBA makes the first 6 months of payments on the loan under the CARES Act. However, not every applicant will qualify for this program. The deadline to apply is September 27th, and they are giving priority to businesses located in low to moderate income communities as well as veteran-owned businesses. And a local community development corporation in the region, in your district, is CDC Small Business Finance, and there are several others that may also be able to support you through the application process, including Exxon, which is another CDFI that does a lot of work in San Diego. And so all to say, there are grants, there are loans, there are resiliency funds that are being established, which also offer small dollar grants. There are state-backed capital resources. There are your traditional community development financial institutions, which offer alternative capital options. And so there are an abundance of resources. Have an advocate by your side by contacting the Small Business Development Center and working with a technical assistance provider.
Thank you, CMR. That's very comprehensive. Jamie, what would you have like to add to that conversation?
Yeah, I just want to break it down. So I know small businesses they don't know where to start. That we have all these loans, we have all these programs. Not everybody knows about the various levels of government. So at the SBA, we're a federal agency. Two of the programs that are out there, and everybody's been mentioning them, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, that's available to provide relief to businesses to overcome the temporary loss of revenue. So these would be working capital loans. To apply for an Economic Injury Disaster Loan, it's real easy. You'd get on SBA.gov, visit that internet site, and you can submit an application directly to SBA.gov. And then I'm sure everybody's heard about Paycheck Protection Program. Paycheck Protection Program is an SBA loan that helps businesses keep their workforce employed during the coronavirus crisis. So Paycheck Protection Program is really important. One of the awesome features about Paycheck Protection Program is it has a loan forgiveness feature. So if you apply for Paycheck Protection Program, you have 24 weeks to spend down the funds from the program. If you allocate them 60% on payroll and then the remaining on rent and utilities, you can apply for what's called loan forgiveness, and that entire loan can be forgiven. So to effectuate an application for the Paycheck Protection Program, I think what I'm going to do is send out our information and share it with everybody on the call so that you can see the various online lenders and financial institutions that are accepting those applications, because that program is still open and it's closing soon. And what I found is a lot of folks have either put in an application for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan or the Paycheck Protection Program. You can apply for both or just one, depending on your situation, but you want to make sure that those are two programs that you have vetted whether you have eligibility. So if there's any question in your mind as to whether you have eligibility, I'm going to give you my contact information, and we can send out an email so you know where to go and apply for them. And we'll support you. Don't let the application process be overwhelming. Rely on us to kind of break that down. I know it's hard. I know everybody's going through a lot, and when you're facing a federal application, you're thinking, wow, there's a lot involved, but it's not that difficult, and we can help with that. Now, I know we keep mentioning the Small Business Development Centers, so they're our resource partner. They're partially funded by the Small Business Administration, and what's awesome about them is you can reach out to them and speak with a business advisor so they can break down the various types of programs, whether it's at the City of San Diego, the County of San Diego, or the state level or the federal level, those people are in the know as to all the emerging programs, loans, grants, and are going to be able to customize information based on your small business needs. And then secondly, I just want to throw out, if anybody has already applied and they're facing challenges, definitely reach out to us because we are here to service all small businesses, independent contractors, self-employed, and also our ranchers. So lots of folks are eligible for both economic injury disaster loan and Paycheck Protection Program. So everybody needs to make sure that they have investigated an application, and it's better to submit an application and get consideration early and go from there. And so reach out. Don't let the fear of the application process stop you. We want your business to succeed.
Thank you, Jamie. Could you quickly answer the question? We have some constituents ask us this. Like, a lot of people, when the PPP program first came out, we heard that not a lot of very small businesses were getting the loans, as well as the Paycheck Protection Program ran out of money. And then it got, I believe, refilled, and then we heard from Fiomara that there might be PPP Part 2 coming. Is there money for Small Business Assistance Program? Is that money depleted, or is it still out there?
Okay, so initially when the program launched, huge demand, right? So we're in coronavirus crisis, huge demand. The money has been reallocated. The program is open today. There is, at last count, close to $1 billion in those funds. So everybody that is a small business owner, independent contractor, self-employed, and this includes our Lyft drivers, we're going to send out an email. It's going to have that information in there, and they need to investigate their eligibility because there's money left, and I don't want people to go without submitting an application because they don't know where to go. So I want to make that clear. There's money in the Paycheck Protection Program. It is closing soon. So what we want to do is get the information together and submit that application. It's not a hard application, and we want to do that as soon as possible. And so I'll be sending out information that we can share with the group tonight.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you so much. Yes, we'll definitely be putting it on our website as well. I think and we're probably going to do some social media to remind people that the deadline's approaching. They need to get out there, and you guys are there to help. So that would be super helpful. I know so many of our small businesses have appreciated working with you on this. So I have a question for the commissioner. So, like, we're moving around here a little bit. Can workers' comp insurance companies exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, whether or not they're considered essential businesses?
Great question. This is another big issue that we get calls from. Workers' compensation insurance companies cannot exclude COVID-19 from their coverage. All workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether or not they are considered essential services. This includes workers engaged in frontline occupations, as we hear about, you know, healthcare workers, emergency services, food production, sales, and delivery, among others. Workers' compensation also applies to our immigrant workers, and our immigrant workers are covered in our workers' compensation system. And, you know, I recently issued a notice back in April to remind insurance companies about these existing legal protections for all California workers. Remember, Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order creating a presumption that if a worker contracted COVID-19 while on the job, if the worker is diagnosed with COVID or tests positive within 14 days of performing a labor or a service at the place of work, the order applies to all workers, whether or not they are deemed essential, I should say. But I have to tell our businesses that this is a rebuttable presumption, and a rebuttable presumption meaning that employers will have a chance to prove that the illness is not work-related. So this is not necessarily a slam dunk. The businesses also have an opportunity to kind of prove that the employer did not, you know, contract COVID at work. It will take some time to see, again, what the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system is going to be and on the premium businesses pay. You know, I also just want to say that businesses that are closed, or have drastically reduced payrolls due to stay-at-home orders may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term. And that is why I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of workers' compensation premiums to our businesses. I issued an emergency workers' compensation regulations as well to make sure that these changes really reflect the lower risk for worker injuries in light of this, in light of the pandemic. These new regulations will mandate insurance companies to recompute premium charges for policyholders to reflect the reduced risk of loss consistent with my bulletin. So, you know, and we will, I think for sure it's going to result in savings for many policyholders and business owners. I think I have Alex from my legal team on that. I would like for him to further delve into this issue because this is critical for our small businesses as they're tackling workers' compensation. Alex, are you available? Are you on?
I am. Hi, Commissioner. Yeah. So the regulation does several things. First, employers are permitted to reclassify an employee if the employee's duties have changed to a more clerical classification, reflecting that employee's lower risk of injury when compared to that employee's previous classification. And this reclassification will reduce the employer's premiums for these employees who are now at a lower risk because they're now working from home, even if they haven't previously worked from home. And this change is retroactive to March 19th, which was the first day of the governor's statewide stay-at-home order, and it will conclude 60 days after that order is lifted. Also, the regulations lower premiums for some employers by excluding from the premium calculations the payments made to an employee, including the sick or family leave payments, while that employee is not performing duties of any kind for the employer. Typically, those payments would be used as a basis for the insurer would use it to charge the workers' compensation premium, but this change now will lower the employer's rate by reducing the amount of payroll assessed, and the employer will not have to pay premium for paid workers who are now otherwise being furloughed. And finally, the new regulation also excludes COVID-19 claims from future rate calculations so that employers are not penalized with higher rates due to COVID-19 claims. And I'd also like to say that the commissioner also adopted rules that will permit the department's data collection agent to collect COVID-19 related claims data so that the department can continue to monitor the overall effect of this pandemic on the workers' compensation market so that, you know, we can take action as necessary. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And following up on that, because, you know, we go from workers' comp to we have another question that's related around small business owners having questions around liability due to COVID-19 exposure, both for their employees as well as their customers. We got it often in the question of indoor restaurants and when they close down. Right. You know, so can you help us understand or help our local businesses here understand what's going on with COVID-19 liability exposure?
Thank you. Thank you. That's a great question. You know, even when you reopen, businesses are going to need time to recover. And I know the liability due to COVID exposure is a legitimate concern. The department is going to be watching closely to make sure that insurance companies are giving business owners as much flexibility as possible and that they are fully abiding by their contracts. You know, I understand the burdens being placed on businesses now as they attempt to reopen while still keeping their employees and customers safe. You know, it's not an understatement to say that there's lives at stake here. So I would tell businesses they should follow the governor's resiliency roadmap as well as local guidelines for what processes the business must follow. And that will go a long way towards helping us recover from this pandemic. But as businesses reopen, they should have a conversation with their agent or their insurance company to get the guidance regarding how they can safely return to business and also to make sure that they have the right coverage in place. I can't stress that enough. It is important that you understand what your liability coverage is, what do you need to do to enhance that, or maybe change the type of liability coverage that you have so that you can reopen with the certainty that you're protected, that your workers are protected, and your customers are protected. Again, if you have any issues regarding that or would like us to help you in contacting the insurance company so that we can walk through them with them and with our business owners, what is it that you need, we can help you do that as well. We are proud to give you some experts from our department to help you decipher your coverage. If you're not satisfied with the answers you're getting from your agent or broker, give us a call and we can help you at 1-800-927-4357. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have time for one final question. I'm going to direct this to Jamie and Siomara. 8076 is a diverse district. My district has a large Latino population, and we know that women and minority-owned businesses have been hurt especially hard because, especially when you look at the numbers of deaths from COVID, it's disproportionately higher among the Latino community than it is for other ethnicities. So, and that obviously translates to our small businesses as well. So what are some of the common things you've been hearing from our Latino or women or minority-owned business owners? Siomara?
I'm happy to start. So women, prior to COVID, women and in particular Latina women were one of the fastest growing segments in terms of small business ownership. And so based on the data that we have so far, there have been a number of comprehensive studies that have started to look at the immediate impacts to businesses based on ownership and the demographics of those small businesses. Our organization has also put out a couple of surveys and has released some studies that do showcase that by nature, because they are smaller, because they might not have access to technology and being able to adapt in the digital environment or expanding their digital footprint, they have faced additional challenges. One of the common issues that we've heard from this from the Latino community has been a challenge if they are visa holders in being able to obtain a PPP or economic injury disaster loan or other loan programs. If a small business owner has been denied because of a visa, there is an appeal process to go through. And so, again, working with the Small Business Development Center or the SBA directly, you may be able to resolve that and get your appeal through. And so that's one of the common things we've heard from some of our business owners that have reached out to us with challenges in accessing capital. Another piece is around loss of health insurance. And so for those that have lost their health insurance because maybe they were let go, one of the things to keep in mind is here in California, we do have Covered California, which is our state marketplace where you may be able to obtain health insurance. A good number of Californians have entered the marketplace over the last couple of months, and that deadline to apply has further been extended through the end of August. And so that's something that we hear. Another thing I want to mention very briefly is, again, the state has over $120 million now in the state loan guarantee program. These loans, which are loans, they don't have any forgivable aspect to it, but these loan products, you can be eligible regardless of your immigration status. And so if you are an ITIN holder, you may be eligible. And various CDFIs or community development financial institutions, which again, our alternative lenders may be able to provide you with a low cost or low interest loan. I just want to, the insurance commissioner touched on this, and I think you did too, assembly member. It is so important that we know that there are a lot of scams taking place right now. A lot of fraud is happening, and folks are falling victims to predatory players that are looking to, you know, take advantage of the situation, which is so unfortunate. And this can be in a number of different forms. We've seen folks that have paid someone to help them with their PPP application or their SBA, Economic Injury Disaster Loan application, pay a fee, like a percentage fee of the total loan that they would qualify for. We have seen folks fall victims to online lenders, which, again, you're looking for cash flow. We understand these are challenging times. Online, in the online space, while there has been making headway to trying to, you know, restrict some of the abusive practices that are taking place in the online lending world, it's really much the wild, wild west. And so a consumer, a business owner, a person can go on there and qualify for a loan product really quickly through an online short-term marketplace lender, but end up with a product where they're paying double-digit interest, and in some cases we've seen it be triple-digit interest, 100-plus percent for a loan product. And so, and a lot of these programs are targeted in Spanish and in English and in all these other languages. So, again, just important, and I want to reiterate one more time, I think it's so critical. Being a small business owner can be very isolating, and it's important to know you're not alone. There are a number of different resources like ours and others that are there to support you through this process and help to navigate. We are ecosystem builders, and we want you to be connected to your ecosystem.
That is fantastic. That is, I think that's really good to bring up the scams. As I said, we've done previous town halls on how to avoid COVID scams and fraud protection. But to bring up exactly what kind of scams are out there right now is really important, I think, for a small business owner. I couldn't imagine the heartache I would have for going through all this stuff to get a loan and only to, you know, to try to save my business only to be scammed out of that hope for the future. So thank you so much for bringing that up. I want to thank our insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara, Jamie from our Small Business Association, and Xiomara Pena for joining us today. Thank you to all the participants who listened and learned more about small businesses and insurance during this COVID-19 environment. I'd like to give it over to each of the panelists for really like a 30-second to 1-minute kind of summary of what you want our listeners to walk away from this telecon hall with. We've covered a lot of information, so let's go in reverse order. So let's start with Jamie, and then we'll go to Xiomara, and then Commissioner Lara. So, Jamie?
Hi. So I'm going to make 4 points. Apply economic injury disaster loan, Paycheck Protection Program. Please don't be feared. Reach out to us. At the SBA, we represent the faces of our communities. Over 80% of our staff at the district office are either bilingual or multilingual. We know that there's challenges and fear with applying for these federal applications. We have offices, Small Business Development Center, even the Women's Business Center, that is breaking down those language barriers. We work regularly with our media, international media, local media. And if you need help with a reconsideration, especially if there's some immigration issues in there, I work all day long to help people with their appeals. And I want to make sure that people know that they can contact us, especially our underserved communities, our Latino communities. I'm here to help. I have 2 grandmothers from Mexico, and we can help you. So please reach out, send us an email, give me a phone call. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you. Xiomara?
Yes. Once again, Small Business Majority, we're a national nonprofit. We're looking to be there to connect you to the resources at the local level that exist for you and your community. In addition to those local programs, we also offer education around a multitude of other state programs, as well as just entrepreneurship. And so for all of that information, you can visit our venturize.org platform. And I'm looking forward to sharing all of the links of several of the programs that I talked about, because it was a lot of information. And thank you again, Assemblywoman and Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, for your leadership in hosting us and sharing this information to residents in your district.
Thank you so much. And for our final comments, let's go to Commissioner Lara.
Thank you again, Assemblywoman, for hosting us and sharing this vital information. Again, look, I know insurance is complicated. It's complicated for your California Insurance Commissioner, big surprise. And so we want you to realize that we are here to be your advocates, to fight for our consumers and our business owners. And so if you have any question regarding your insurance products or insurance policy, if you're trying to figure out how do you make, a deal with all the information you're getting, give us a call. We're here to help you. We speak multiple languages. And again, you can call us at 1-800-927-4357. Don't be afraid to call. We are here to help you. This is what we do. And we have amazing insurance experts to help guide you through this complicated process during this very, very extraordinary time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And knowing that there are so many resources out there, I just want to make a final appeal to our businesses. Please, 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 before you decide to shutter your doors for good, please go to any one of the number of resources we will have on both our site, our website, as well. That's www.a76.asmdc.org. That's www.a76.asmdc.org. And look at all those those resources and make sure you've explored every possible option. I know this time is going to be tough, and I fear that we're going to be opening and closing for longer than we all really want or would like to. And so I just think I want to thank our panelists today. Such great resources, really helping our small businesses and our consumers survive with what's really probably going to be the most challenging time in our lives, I think. And I know we're all very much more informed after today's discussion. As always, my office is here to assist and welcome your questions, comments, and concerns, whether it's kind of following up on any of the topics we covered today, or if we are from the employee side, you're a worker and you need EDD support, we're there for you. You can contact my district director, Janet.Chin, C-H-I-N, at asm.ca.gov, or you can call my office at 760-434-7605. Again, my website is www.a76.asmdc.org. We're going to have this posted, this recording posted both on our site as well. It's going to be on the Department of Insurance site. So we want to make sure that we are providing as much information as possible. The commissioner's website is www.insurance.ca.gov. The U.S. Small Businesses Administration's website is www.sba.gov. And the Small Business Majority is www.smallbusinessmajority.org. So thank you, everyone. Please stay safe. Please wear your mask. Please keep your social distancing. Please don't gather outside your household unit. I know it's hard. I know it's summer. But let's keep everybody safe, and let's keep our businesses open and moving forward, and hopefully at some point get our kids back to school and to classrooms. So thank you, everybody. Have a great evening. This is your Assemblymember, Tasha Berner-Horvath.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for this evening. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Event Conferencing Service. You may now disconnect.